Process is Practice, Reimagining the Lost Hardwick Mural is an exhibition by artist Kayla Austin. You can visit the Tube Factory Art Space to view the show from now until December 17th. Here's an excerpt from an audio recording of Kayla sharing her process of creating these works. This project is made possible by a grant from the U.S. Institute of Museum and Library Services.
How do we listen to people and how do we help them design the worlds that they want to live in, right? And I'm from the Southeast side, so I'm deeply invested in what our neighborhood looks like in the next 100 years. The project I've been working on with the descendants of the U.S. Colored Troops, before we started, there was almost no history on the Colored Troops for the state of Indiana. There was only one regiment that was stationed in Fountain Square. And they did some pretty remarkable things. They defeated Robert E. Lee in the Civil War, and then they were sent out to Galveston and performed Juneteenth. When the Civil War is over, they come back home and they set up these communities that are now some of the most, at least Norwood and Barrington, one of the oldest and most stable Black communities in the United States. I think in the first 200 lots of the neighborhood, there are about 30 descendant families still living on their original properties from the Civil War, which means they've been there for about, 150 years. Some of the oldest lot work dating back to 1839. So they've been there almost since the founding of the city of Indianapolis. There's this huge archival void for this story. And I kind of stumbled into it a few years ago. I got a commission from SIND, Southeast Neighborhood Development, to do a project that ended up being called Memory Keepers, where I went around and interviewed grassroots community leaders on the Southeast side, most of them like 80 plus years old, just to figure out with the new jail, the community justice campus opening on the Southeast side, our neighborhood was going to shift, right? So what was their neighborhood like? What is it like now? What was it like before? What was it like when you were a child? How do you remember it? What is it like now? And how would you like to reimagine it in the future? And it ended up it really kind of grounding me and embedding me in the Southeast side in a way that I didn't really expect. I had just moved back home right before the pandemic started, and this was not necessarily where I had imagined myself. So my goal with the Memory Keepers project was to embed myself in my neighborhood and figure out what makes it worth it to be there, right? I have to be here. Now it's a pandemic. I'm definitely not moving anywhere. How do I create a positive attachment to the place that I was born? And I had the great fortune of sitting down with just a bunch of little old ladies who were very passionate about their communities and their work. And in Norwood in particular, I got to interview an elder named Miss Flanora Frazier, and was 91 when we did the interview. She's 94 now. Wow. And when you start an oral history interview, you go, "Who are you? Where'd you come from? How'd you get here?" Right. And she said, "Ooh, do you want to hear about my grandfather?" No one ever asked me about him anymore. I was like, "Okay, tell me. You're 90. You're excited. So there must be a good story here." And she said, "Oh, well, my grandfather escaped slavery at 13 years old and joined the U.S. Colored Troops and founded this church on the corner in 1889. I'm like, "Whoa, hold on. I've lived across the street most of my entire life except for school. And how did I never know this story? You know, about myself, about the place that I'm from." And I think the Southeast side in particular, people don't know a lot about us. They don't know. And especially in the Black community, when I say that I'm from the Southeast side, they say, "Why?"
Yeah.
You know, because that's not the reputation that we're known for having. Right. And so I was like, "Whoa, whoa, what's going on here?" I start talking to other neighbors and they're like, "Oh, she's nothing special. We're all the U.S. Colored Troops." I was like, "Okay." And then another neighborhood, Barrington, reaches out to me and they go, "Norwood's nothing special. We're all the Colored Troops too." So now we've found about six neighborhoods, and between the six of them, about 250 descendant families still living on their original lots. which is just an astronomical number in terms of community stability. And another added benefit of these neighborhoods is that, I don't know what they're doing, but these people are living to 100, 105, 110 pretty regularly. Mm-hmm. Like Miss Flanora, her older brother is still alive. He's 98 and her younger brother is still alive and he's 90. And they have been bickering like siblings for almost 100 years, you know? And I think when this project started, we've lost quite a few elders in the last couple of years with the pandemic. I think we still have about 30 elders between 90 and 108 years old that we've been interviewing. It's kind of a heartbreaking thing, right? To realize how big the archival void is and what that does to people to not know those stories about themselves and about the places that they're from. I was talking with the executive director of GEARS, which is the Global Institute for Research, Education, and Scholarship, Konstantinos. And he actually built the archive in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He built the Black Wall Street Archive. And so when I started this project, I reached out to him and was like, hey, we're having a similar conversation in a different way here in Indianapolis, and how should I approach this? And when he was talking to me, he was like, you have to understand that feeling like you're nowhere, right? And feeling like you're nobody is a tactic, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. If you can't see yourself, if you can't value yourself, how do you dream of a future? How do you make plans to stabilize yourself? You know, and how do you invest in yourself if you have never seen anyone like you achieve things like this? And so to be able to pull these stories back up through the surface, and especially the story of like John Hardrick, a Black painter from the Southeast side, who also was poor and a single father and, you know, dealt with all of these same issues that I'm dealing with today, 100 years later. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the first times I've felt seen in the city, right? I was able, by being able to pull this story back up, now I understand why I'm on the Southeast side. Mm-hmm. It wasn't an accident. There's just not Black people over here for no reason. It was because the colored troops were stationed here and because Black veterans could buy property and vote. They were able to create stable, long-lasting communities that let me be in the Southeast side. And that embedded arts into the Southeast side and embedded culture, even if we haven't been recognized by our city or our state, because of the stability of these communities, they've been able to keep their own memory alive. And that's something I think we're all trying to relearn right now.